The statistics are familiar. Most startups don't make it. But job growth and innovation are the lifeblood of a thriving community. How to grow and keep successful entrepreneurs in Tampa Bay. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of Bay Care Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. Bay Care's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham. A fermented drink called kombucha is one of the fastest growing areas of the beverage market right now. St. Petersburg entrepreneur Tanya Donati is the co-founder of the company Mother Kombucha. She invited WUSF's Lisa Peeks for a tour of the brewery.
Inside the Mother Kombucha warehouse in St. Petersburg, the air is rich with a vinegary, yeasty scent. Long-neck brown bottles are being labeled, filled two at a time with jasmine flower kombucha tea, capped, and packed into crates where they're priced and taped to be on their way to market. I asked Tanya Donati about who's buying her product.
Our customer base is quite wide. I would say our average age range is mid-20s to 50s, but it's very wide.
How have you been able to get the word out about your product?
One of the best things we did early on was vend at the local farmers markets and outdoor events. We started at Saturday Morning Market in St. Petersburg, and that was a great way to reach a wide variety of customers, wholesale customers. We met the owners of Local Market that way, and then just the general public and the people that support us.
How would you describe the entrepreneurial spirit?
You just have to be ready for things to never be the same. Like, every single day there's a different challenge, and I think you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
What would you do differently now, knowing what you know?
I would probably have secured more financing at the beginning.
What advice do you have for first-time entrepreneurs?
I would say do your homework. Be sure that it's something that you just inherently feel very, very excited about, and you're going into it because it's really something you want to dedicate yourself to. It really is true that if you find something you love, you never work a day in your life, and that's what it's been like. We work so, so hard, 80 hours a week, up all night, just constant, never ending, and it's a sacrifice, but it's also so much fun that it doesn't feel like it's a sacrifice.
Tell me about your biggest triumph. What's the coolest thing that happened along the way?
Oh, gosh. I think it was when we went from basically working out of a commercial kitchen, brewing very much like a home brewer does, to building out our facility, learning how to use equipment that none of us had any idea, knew nothing about, and then, you know, seeing it on the shelves of local businesses.
What was the worst thing that happened?
You know, the hardest process was going through the SBA loan process. It was just extremely long and extremely trying, and you never felt like you were getting anything right, and it just took three times as long as we thought it would, and there wasn't anything we could do about it. Problems within the brewery, when there's a problem, we know how to fix it. If it's a mistake, you dump it and you start over. If it's not good enough, you just get rid of it and you keep moving. But when it's something you're having to do that's completely out of your control, That's the hardest part.
What's the future for you?
We're currently looking for and in the process of getting distribution, and our goal is to be the kombucha brewery of Florida, not just of the Tampa Bay area.
The Merriam-Webster definition of an entrepreneur is a, quote, a person who starts a business and is willing to risk loss in order to make money, unquote. Also willing to work hard and crazy hours and give up the security of working for someone else, but the rewards can be substantial. Jen Smur is the owner of Born and Bred Bakehouse in Lakeland. And Jen, you also got your start at the local farmers market, right?
I did.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
So, yes, I did start there. We were doing, I think, the first market. We came out and there was already a line of 20 people. It was the hardest day ever. I didn't sleep the night before. The bread oven had failed me. I had cried. There's video, I'm sure. But I learned a ton during that first market. And although I told myself I was never doing it again, whenever I went out there to see the support and the love from our community, I knew instantly I was going to continue to do it. And since then, I've just continued at the farmers market. When we first started, I was doing about 250 maximum pastries out of Catapult. And now I'm in my own space, and we're doubling that, and the growth and the belief and the faith that a city has in you alone and the way that you connect with the community is really special.
Dr. Mike Morris is the director of the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business Administration. Mike, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be here.
So Jen talked about working with Catapult, which is a co-working space and an incubator in Lakeland. And there is so much excitement right now around these business incubators or accelerators. They abound in Tampa Bay area. Is there any data to support that they are actually working, though? Have they been shown to increase a business's chance of survival?
Yeah, there is some data that suggests that they are affected, that they're having an impact. But I don't think you can generalize. To me, the key is that it's a tailored approach that understands the different kinds of businesses, the different kinds of entrepreneurs, and is imposing some discipline in terms of goal setting and a path to the next step and then a path to the step after that. And that's a very hands-on kind of activity, and some incubators do that phenomenally, and some are much more hands-off, just sort of spaces.
Well, they provide kind of social contact for people who might feel very alone, I guess, in starting their business. But you would think the mentoring, the contacts that you could make with more experienced business people would be a good thing that those incubators would provide.
Yeah, actually, you just nailed it. I think there's two sides. It's knowing that there are fellow travelers, that there's that back and forth, that sharing, that, well, I've discovered this about the marketing or this tool or whatever. So the network is critical, and the exposure to other entrepreneurs who've been there and done that, coupled with a programmatic kind of approach to working with a particular venture.
I want to bring in our third guest. Nick Reeder is the CEO of MVP Holdings, which is a private restaurant company based in Tampa, and is the founder of one of the founders of PDQ Restaurant Chain. He's the former CFO of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So he went from working for an organization to becoming an entrepreneur himself. He's also one of the EY Entrepreneurs of the Year for Florida this year. So, Nick, you started your business in Tampa Bay, and you also have restaurants in other states. I'd kind of like to get an idea of how you feel like Tampa Bay area compares to other regions of the country for a business climate for entrepreneurs to get started.
Sure, and I'm a Tampa native myself, so I'm a little biased when my opinion. But one thing I love about Tampa is it's a great community to start a business, especially a business that you want to see if it has legs to travel around the country, because Tampa is very indicative of most areas. It's, you know, the densities, the incomes, the job opportunity. We're very successful area, but it's not an over-the-top, super dense area where maybe you get false sense of sales and what have you. So I think Tampa, just being a local person that grew up here, from attracting top labor because of the housing market, the beaches are close by, the opportunity to do stuff socially, I just think it's a great city to start any business. And it's very pro-business, and it's been a lot of fun to start the business out of Tampa.
Well, okay, so you're a Tampa native and you're biased. Mike, what do you have to say? I mean, how do you feel the Tampa region does against regions of similar size?
Yeah, I think it's exciting what's happening in Tampa. And the key in terms of a community like Tampa is that you have a whole host of different elements, whether it's incubators, whether it's entrepreneurship educational programs at the universities, the University of Tampa, University of South Florida, local entrepreneurs, companies that are in a more growth-oriented kind of environment, not so much startups. Angel investors, the banking community. The key is not just having all these elements, it's the extent to which they're connected. The word, popular word today, is entrepreneurial ecosystem. And I think it's exciting in Tampa the extent to which that's really starting to happen.
Can you give an example, maybe, Nick? Do you know what he's talking about, this entrepreneurial ecosystem? How would that be affecting you?
Sure. I think it goes back to what Dr. Moore said earlier about the support system, the connection. It's whether you get – you know, we did not start in an incubator, but what we did was a close network of people in Tampa that have been very successful. Guys like Ed Gerosti, who started Hooters, a local concept that started out of Tampa, Outback Steakhouse, my partner. So there's a lot of people, and what I've noticed in Tampa is – they're very supportive of Tampa-born and bred companies. So I think there's a brand loyalty, but what I think you get from the financial community, from the leadership community, is I think you really get a sense of pride of where that mid to big town that likes who we are. We're all very connected. We live here because we choose to live here. We start our companies here because we like the town. And so I think there's a sense of pride in all of us to make sure we succeed, but also there are people that come in behind us succeed and get the same kind of mentorship, or as we use the word ecosystem. I mean, I think that's a great analogy for what you can do when you kind of set the seeds of starting a business.
Something that you didn't start with an incubator, but something that's interesting I think that's happening with these incubators, Mike, is that they're not just in big cities. They have them in Orlando. There's a lot in Orlando, in Tampa. But you're also getting them – well, you're getting them in Dade City, in Pasco. You're getting them in Lakeland. Smaller size towns. I think one of the goals for the economic development committees in those towns is to keep their younger people. Jen, how old are you?
I'm 28.
28. So they're trying to keep people like Jen from leaving to go to bigger cities. And Mike, do you think that they've got a chance of succeeding there?
I really do. I mean, I'm in Gainesville at the University of Florida, and we have 5 incubators here, and obviously Gainesville is a much smaller, town than Tampa, and face some of the same challenges in terms of, we get a lot of cool startups, but keeping them here. And again, there are different reasons people move. They want to be closer to markets or customers, or they want to be closer to the venture capital people and that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, the things we were talking about before, the community, the network, the mix of social and professional kinds of activities that center around a culture of entrepreneurship in Tampa is what will keep people there.
So, Jen, you came in. I have to – now our audience isn't going to be able to see this, but Jen came into our studio this morning with dough still stuck to her arm. She's been up since 2:30 this morning making the dough, right, so mm-hmm. that you could come in here, and then you're going to be getting back and have everything ready for the farmer's market tomorrow. So that is dedication. I want to talk about what some of the personality traits that you think you have to make to go on this journey.
Oh, I think dedication, it's definitely one of them. You have to have a very thick skin, and there's this journey that you go through, I think, as an entrepreneur. When you start, you have this imagination of, I can do anything I put my mind to wow, I have limitations as an individual, and then overcoming. So one thing no one ever told me is whenever I started, I did feel like I was losing my mind at times. My husband can tell you the same thing. It always happened in a bathroom. I don't know why, but that was just a safe place. If you ever wanted to see me break down, I was crying in a bathroom. But you go through these really hard moments of everyone on the outside thinks it's so easy. She's got a line of people every single Saturday. Her life must be so grand. But then there's those growing pains. So I recently heard this story about how a lobster grows, and basically every time it has to shed its shell and feel very uncomfortable and vulnerable and hide under a rock, only to build another one and do the whole process over again. So I think, for me, there's so many growing pains I'm still going through, but there's a lot of pressure as an individual. I don't have a business partner. So when there's decision making or a bad day in the bakery, I get that all by myself. And that feeling of failing over and over and over again is something that you have to get used to, but also be vulnerable to doing, because it's the only way you get better. I think for me, maybe that trait of never being satisfied is probably something that makes me a little different. Maybe every entrepreneur has that. I don't think I'm very confident about a lot of things. But in general, I've told people before that I am confident that no one will work as hard as I do. As much as I go into a bakery and I haven't been satisfied with the bread dough that I've made until even last weekend, I finally pulled out a loaf of bread that I was extremely proud of. And every single person at the farmer's market heard about it. But it's not the end. So right now, I'm the only worker. It's very hard finding people that are willing to work.
When you talk about growing pains, you're sort of that, because you're doing all the baking yourself right now, and you haven't hired anyone else yet. So that's a...
I did hire.
You did?
At some point, yes.
But it didn't work out? Or
no.
Okay, so that... I wanted to get into that with Nick. I mean, this is, first of all, the traits that you would need to have. Would you agree to be an entrepreneur?
I think when you started with the definition, the one thing that got lost a little bit in that definition is, you know, risking it all financially. I think if you have a passion for what you do, which most of us do in our seats, it's not winning or losing. If the business fails and you do it and you're passionate about it and you love it, the 20-hour day, 7 days a week, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like something you would want to do. I wake up every day without an alarm clock, and it's something I choose to do because I have a passion for it. In turn, I think that passion, you know, the first store we had, being behind the counter, we were frying chicken, calling chicken, serving guests, and, you know, now we're up to 3,000-plus employees, and you still have that same passion, but it's like I have three boys, and it's like watching my children grow up. There's a point in their life, just like a business, where you really need to coddle them and be all over it, and every day you have to be there. And then you got to watch them grow up a little bit. They start becoming better at what you're doing than you, because you've taught them the proper way. So you're able to then change your role into being more a advisor. You know, as you move into more of the day-to-day operations in the CEO type of seat, you have to learn to take some control and hand it to other people and empower them. And then that's one thing I've really enjoyed about this ride, is just having the ability to, you know, we've created in 4.5 years 3,000-plus jobs. We're in 8 states right now. We have 55 restaurants. And that's, to me, something every day I wake up and go, whatever comes financially is fine. It doesn't really matter, because that's changing people's life. A lot of those jobs are six-figure jobs. People talk about minimum wage versus standard. You know, the one thing that gets lost is, what's the opportunity for people? You can make minimum wage whatever you want to make it. There's still going to be a standard of living that gets raised because people raise prices. So how do you really create a path for opportunity and for growth? And when I look at that as what we're doing, the rest of it comes into play. If we get to 100 restaurants, we get to 1,000, we get to 2,000. You know what? If there's only 55, the rest of my life, we've created 3,000 jobs, and there's a lot of people there that have changed their lives because of it.
But as this business has changed, as you kind of mentioned, your skill set must have changed along the way. You're constantly learning.
You know, I think one word that gets used overly with entrepreneurs, especially in the restaurant space and consumer space, is this disruptive. What I think we are is, we're adapters and evolvers. You know, having been fortunate to go to a top 10 school like University of Florida, and the accounting program was phenomenal. I started with Price Waterhouse. I was fortunate enough to work in the NFL. I was not always the smartest person in the room. And so I learned to listen to much smarter people, evolve and adapt. So I think none of us are disruptive. I mean, you didn't create baking. I didn't create chicken. You just listened to what people wanted, where there was a demand, and we evolved and adapted it to what the consumers want. And I think to be successful over a 10-year, not just, you know, initially the first couple of years, it's over time, is you have to continually adapt and change how you think based on what your team members want and what your consumers want.
We're speaking with Jen Smur, the owner of Born and Bred Bakehouse in Lakeland, Nick Reeder, the CEO of MVP Holdings and a founder of the PDQ restaurant chain, and Dr. Mike Morris, the director of the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business Administration. This is Florida Matters. We're speaking about entrepreneurship in the Tampa Bay region. Our guests are Dr. Mike Morris of the University of Florida's Business School, and Nick Reeder, the founder of PDQ's Restaurants, and Jen Smur, who has Born and Bred Bakehouse in Lakeland. Dr. Morris, we were talking about the traits that make a good entrepreneur, and I'm wondering if you've seen changes in your students over the years, because it seems that society has gotten much more risk-averse. I know in parenting, everything is about safety and making sure that your children are safe all the time, and play dates, and you know, the drill. And I'm just wondering if you're seeing that reflected in your students. Do you see that they're becoming more risk-averse?
This word risk, you know, everybody talks about entrepreneurship as risk-taking. I've never met an entrepreneur who will say, oh, I love to take risks. It's just not about taking risks. You know, there's a study that showed that 75% of high school kids today want someday to have their own venture. That's a phenomenal number. It's saying the whole generation is not looking at getting a job somewhere or lifetime employment. They want to make their own mark on the world. So, no, I think young people are more interested in entrepreneurship, or more want to do their own thing and make their own difference and be part of something bigger than themselves.
And do you think possibly a silver lining then of the great recession that we just went through was maybe that people were forced to innovate, forced to think about starting their own businesses because the jobs weren't available?
I do. We call it push versus pull entrepreneurship. People that are sort of pushed into entrepreneurship by circumstances versus people that are pulled by opportunity. And both are important. Both are happening at high rates. And the interesting thing is failure rates don't differ based on what initially got you into entrepreneurship.
So you don't feel there really are personal traits? There's not a certain kind of person? So I'm wondering, is it more the idea then than the person that determines success?
It's more the mindset. And it's a mindset of discipline. It's a mindset. There are no eight-hour days for an entrepreneur. It's a mindset of continual learning. I think if you take the typical successful entrepreneur, they'll take the thing that they know they're worst at or that they dislike the most. An entrepreneur says, I hate to sell. Well, they'll make 10 sales calls before they'll do anything else in the morning. I hate the books. I hate accounting. Well, they'll force themselves to understand the numbers. And it's that mindset of leveraging of resources and mitigating risk, continually learning, and it's that resilience, because nothing is going to happen the way you think it's going to happen, and what you think you're going to create is rarely what actually gets created.
So I have two entrepreneurs here in the studio with me who are in traditional businesses. Jen is a baker and has started a bakery, and Nick has restaurants. But you find there's so much effort right now by metropolitan areas to lure high tech. Why is that? You don't see investor funding. You don't see shark tanks for dry cleaning companies. You know, why this passionate desire for high tech as opposed to traditional businesses?
You know, having been involved with the capital raise side of our stuff, you know, and it was a good part of a year to two for my life that I spent meeting with people all over the country.
You're saying investing?
Investing. And so mm-hmm. A lot of it, you know, at the end of the day, what's great about capitalism is there's a return on investment that people want. So when you look at our traditional businesses, it's a labor of love. You can make some money on it, but it's you got to grind. It's, you know, it's a single digit type of return. If you're lucky enough to be in the teens, you're really doing well. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of the tech world is you hit one home run and it's crazy multiples.
Did you have a comment on that, Mike?
Well, yeah, the job thing is a big part of this. Some people don't appreciate that over 70% of the new jobs created in our country are created by entrepreneurs, are created by people like Nick and Jen. And that's key to the future of our country. The challenge is entrepreneurs start lots of different kind of things. We draw a distinction between what we call survival, lifestyle, managed growth, and aggressive growth ventures. The tech ventures tend to be aggressive growth, and they do, in fact, of all those jobs created by entrepreneurs, they do, in fact, create more of them, a bigger proportion. And so I think economic development people are very enamored of that. High tech is sexy. High tech attracts venture capital. You know, venture capital is actually fund less than 1% of startups, and so I think we have to pay a lot more attention to the PDQs and the bakehouses of the world, because they're really the backbone of communities, of local communities and local economic development.
What advice, Nick and Mike, would you give to Jen?
I think, you know, as you go through each phase, it's like I said, It's watching your kids grow up. It's coaching. It's sports. It's the evolution of a team, and you'll start having a team. And the first time you can't work a shift and bake and you have to watch, that's going to be your hardest challenge to keep your mouth shut.
I think she's at that point where you need help, right? You need to start hiring people.
I do.
You've got the demand.
I do, for sure. I think if I were to say one thing that's been hardest besides the emotional startup would be finding, I don't even know if I should call it help. A friend told me the other day, you don't need help, you need a worker.
You need employees.
Yeah. You know, not to throw a wrench in how well it is that, you know, individuals want to be entrepreneurs and want to have their own thing and are hardworking. We were just speaking about this earlier, but and this is hard coming from me because I'm a millennial, but I've only hired millennials so far. And I feel like there's this trait that I can't get past of, you know, I almost feel as if they feel as if they're doing me a favor by working for me. And they feel as if during their time there, even though I can't just give them one task to master, they already want to be at the next phase. So I just want to teach you how to mix dough, and from there I'll teach you how to shape dough, and from there I'll teach you how to bake this dough. But if I can't get you to focus on one thing and master that, then you can't move on to the next step. And that's something small.
This is interesting, hearing this from you. And I'm wondering also, Nick, you know, certain things change in your outlook when you own a business, mm-hmm. right? You start looking at employees differently. You might start looking at politics differently. Has anything changed for you since you went from working for the Buccaneers organization to owning a business, maybe in politics, maybe thinking about minimum wage or changes you've seen in yourself?
Yes, that changed quite a bit significantly. I grew up middle to lower income and in a very liberal Democratic family. I've still a lot of those views agree with socially, but economically you see what some of these ideas and I'm not one to think politicians sit there and have an agenda and they're trying to hurt anybody. I think both sides have a different point of view. I think I wish I'd see some more business-minded people in the political world that just kind of gets what the numbers really look like.
I'm going to have to wrap it up. I'm sorry to stop it here. It's been really interesting, and I appreciate you all being here. Dr. Mike Morris is the director of the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the University of Florida's Warrington College of Business Administration. Nick Reeder, the CEO of MVP Holdings and the founder of PDQ Restaurant Chain, and Jen Smur, the owner of Born and Bred Bakehouse in Lakeland. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, or you can send an email to floridamatters@wusf.org. Florida Matters was produced by Kathy Carter and is a production of WUSF Public Media. Our engineer is Craig George. I'm Robin Sussingham. Thanks for listening.